I'm glad that tonight we are found in God's sanctuary. We are not at the Marina Bay to see the fireworks. Anyone here tempted to go there? Well, I'm thankful you're here tonight to meet with the Lord, which is definitely more meaningful. I hope none of our members are there tonight. And if they are there, I pray they will feel very miserable and then quickly come and join us here. But the Lord bless you tonight to keep the final hour of the year with Him. And surely, even as we worship the Lord, as we listen to His words, as we partake the Lord's Supper afterwards, and we do all this by faith, there is a special blessing from above. And tonight, the topic of my sermon is, ready or not, Jesus is coming. Ready or not, Jesus is coming. The life that we live here right now is not a life of fun and games. And the Lord does not play hide and seek with us either. Ready or not, Jesus will come back. And from the signs of the times, we know that He is coming back very soon. Of course, the world does not believe in this. That's why the world is having fun out there right now. Merrymaking, partying, and they'll go all through the night into the early mornings, oblivious to the fact that there is a judgment to come. And in fact, they would scoff and ridicule at the thought of the second coming of Christ. Jesus said He would come back 2,000 years ago. It is already 2,000 years since He said it. And He's not here. He has not come. He will never come. Nothing, of course, can be further from the truth. As much as the Lord had come the first time in fulfillment of prophecy, we know He will come the second time. And of course, there are those who do not believe that the world will ever end. Well, the world has already been existence for billions of years. Well, we can expect the world to continue on for many more billions of years. Those who believe in evolution, things will get better and better. Again, nothing can be further from the truth. The end will come and must come. And we are not like the unbelievers. We are children of light. We know the truth. We know the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the Holy Scriptures. And that's why we are here tonight in this watch night service, to be very watchful, to remind ourselves the Lord is coming back very soon. Some people may say, oh, why do we keep on preaching and talking about the second coming of Christ, about prophecy? Well, that's precisely because the Bible emphasizes on prophecy. 1 in 4 verses in the Bible deal with prophecy. That's why the Lord wants us to concentrate on His Word, especially with regard to His second coming, so that we will not be caught unawares. And the world one day will welcome the Antichrist. The world is looking forward to a coming Messiah, a false one, coming of the Antichrist. And yes, there will be a one world government, a one world order. Just only recently, my brother-in-law, who is working in the UN, he emailed to me a message and an article that he had just read from the Financial Times. And this is written by a secular writer, an unbeliever, written by Gideon Ruckman. And in his article entitled, And Now for a World Government, Right? That's the title of his article. And it was just published on December the 9th this year, 2008. And in this article, he wrote, and I quote, "So it seems everything is in place. Everything is in place for the first time since Homo sapiens began to doodle on cave walls. There is an argument, an opportunity, and a means to make serious steps towards a world government." A world government. And this is not something new to us. The Bible already predicted this world government thousands of years before. Even Daniel himself talked about this one world government that will precede the one world government of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes. And Jesus, when he comes, will smash the iron and clay empire, a revived Roman empire. The Antichrist will come from out of that empire, and Christ must come to smash this world empire. A modern Tower of Babel is rising. It's in the making. And it is slowly unfolding. And it will come. And more importantly, Jesus will come. We better be ready for his coming. So, like it or not, ready or not, Jesus is coming. And he's coming back very soon. Now, how can we be ready? How can we be prepared? Well, there is this parable here in Matthew 25. Please turn to Matthew 25. And Matthew 25 comes after Jesus' great Olivet Discourse, when he talked about the end of the world and his coming again. And so in chapter 25, he tells us how we must be ready, how we must be prepared for his soon return. And so let us read Matthew 25, and let me just read for you, all right, verse 1 through 13. Matthew 25, verse 1 through 13. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." And here in this parable of the 10 virgins, the Lord Jesus Christ is basically trying to tell us that we must make sure of our salvation, make sure we are saved. Make sure when destruction comes, we are not around. We are with him. We are on his side. Not on the side of the Antichrist, but on his side. We need to do some self-searching and some self-checking tonight, because we do not want to take for granted that because we are called Christians, we are saved. There are a lot of nominal Christians out there, only in name. I hope we are not Christian just in name, but truly Christian, truly born again, truly saved. Please do not think that just because you are born into a Christian family, you are therefore born again and saved. Please do not think that just by coming to church, you are saved. Please do not think that just because you are baptized, you are saved. Please don't think that just because you come to church and you sing the hymns and you give your tithes and offerings, you are saved. What does it mean to be saved? How do I know that I am saved? It's a question we want to ask and answer tonight. And Jesus' parable here tells us what it means to be saved and how can we know for sure that we are saved. Person who is saved, truly born again, ready for the Lord's return, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air when He returns and not fall in a judgment and not be destroyed with the rest of the world. Are those with the following characteristics? From this parable, we can tell. We know that those who are truly born again and are saved will be like this. Firstly, they will be those who are indwelt. True believers are those who will be indwelt or who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. They will lead a spiritual life that is motivated by the Holy Spirit who indwells them. Do you have the Holy Spirit within you? Now here in this parable we have these virgins. And these virgins had oil in their lamps. And there are these five wise virgins who not only had oil in their lamps, here we are told that they brought extra oil with them. Now, oil has been used in the Bible with reference to the Holy Spirit. True believers will have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them, within their body, for the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And once we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have a personal relationship with Him, the Holy Spirit takes residence within us. We are possessed by the Holy Spirit. And once the Holy Spirit takes possession of us, He will never let us go. Once He takes residence within us, He will never vacate. He will never relocate. He will never depart or leave us. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, we are told very clearly that the moment we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, something miraculous happens. Our sins are all washed away. We become children of God. And we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We are sealed. We are secure. We will never lose our salvation. And we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God has promised us eternal life. And He will keep His promise until the very end. And we will arrive at our final destination, which is heaven itself. And not only has He sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise, that passage goes on to tell us that the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. He is our security deposit. And we will finally get to where God wants us to be. It's just like, you know, when you send out a very important document by post, and you want to make sure that it gets to, you know, to where it's supposed to go, to the address that is put on the envelope, and you will get it registered, all right, and insured. It will surely get to that place. Well, the Holy Spirit is like this. It is in us and will never leave us. And then day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, we will experience the Holy Spirit working within us, moving us, changing us, instructing us, guiding us, correcting us. And then we will bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so let us do some self-searching and checking. Do we see such evidence of Holy Spirit working in our life? This oil that makes our spiritual engine run. You know, a car, if it is going to run, must have oil or petrol. No oil, no petrol in the car, it is dead. In the same way, in our spiritual life, if we don't have the oil of the Holy Spirit, then we are spiritually dead. There is no life. And we will not see the marks of grace in our life. So let us do some soul searching. Since the day we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, do we see that our life is lively? We are moving. We are progressing. We are improving in our faith. We are becoming more and more like Christ. We are bearing the fruit of the Spirit. We are not perfect. We are not sinless yet. But we are on our way there. And God is, and we can see God working in us. There is oil in our lamp. Is there oil in your lamp? Or is it darkness in your heart and your mind still? You're not sure that if the Lord Jesus would come today or if you would die today, you'll be in heaven. If you're not sure, better make sure. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ, and He will cause us to become more and more like Christ. Do we see the Lord Jesus Christ in our life? Let us be like the wise virgins who have oil in their lamps, and not only just the oil, they have oil that lasts. The foolish virgins, on the other hand, they also had oil. Well, they appear to have the Holy Spirit in their lives. But actually, they don't. They are like the tares and the goats. They are not sheep. They are not wheat. But imitation. Imitation wheat. They are tares. And they are goats, not sheep. They are like imitation goods. Here, the foolish virgins are said to have all, but it's something that will not go on and on. If you have the Holy Spirit resides in you, He will continue and remain with you until the very end. The foolish virgins here run out of all, meaning actually they don't have the Holy Spirit at all. They only appear to have. So they are fake Christians, not genuine believers, these foolish virgins. They are like the imitation goods. They look like the real thing, but actually they are fake. And you know, fake goods, they may look like the real thing, but then the quality of it is very inferior. And in no time, they will spoil. In no time, they will wear out. In no time, they will fall apart. How many of you have fake goods? Do they last? But those genuine goods with good quality material, you know that it's worth a lot, it's very expensive, and they last for a long time, they may even last a lifetime. And some of them even become more expensive, they appreciate in value. And then they may also become heirlooms, right? The genuine stuff. Fake stuff, well, they wear out, they fall apart in no time. Well, similarly, these foolish virgins, their oil will run dry. Shows that they are not truly believers. They will not go all the way. But the Holy Spirit that is in true believers, the oil will not run dry. The Holy Spirit will remain with them all the way. All the way. So let us make sure we are not fake Christians, not false Christians, but genuine and true, authentic Christians. Well, that's the first point here. How we know that we are truly saved. Make sure we have the Holy Spirit within us. And how do you know this? It's very hard to describe. You have to experience it for yourself in your life. There's this inner and inward testimony that will assure you you belong to Christ, and you'll see the evidence of it in your life as you become more and more like Christ as the days go by. The second thing we find here in this parable is that true believers have a faith that endures, right? True believers not only possess the Holy Spirit, true believers have or possess a faith that endures. True believers will have a faith that will never say die. You know, the light of faith will never be extinguished, will never be snuffed out. And in this parable here, we find that the foolish virgins had no light. They had no light in their lamps when the bridegroom finally came. Those who are true believers will have always the light burning in their lamps, and it will never be snuffed out. It will burn brightly. We'll all be ready when the Lord comes to receive Him. And so, you know, and we know that light is dependent on the oil. So if there's no Holy Spirit, there can be no faith, no light. But if you have the Holy Spirit, you will have that light. And the light will keep on burning, as the Holy Spirit will always be there, helping you to burn and shine brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this light is the light of faith. And this light of faith will endure, will not only shine brightly, it will endure. Your faith will endure unto the very end. You know, the foolish virgins here are like those described in Matthew chapter 13. You remember the parable of the sower, the seed and the soil, don't you? You know, those whose faith is like those where the seed is sown on stony soil or thorny ground. And then for a short time, they rejoice, right? They appear to be believers. They are found in church. They sing the hymns. They participate in all the activities. They read their scriptures. They may even attend Sunday school. They may even be involved in service and leadership positions. But then never born again, because by and by, and in due time, when persecution comes, when tribulation comes, they are offended and they fall away. Or they are tempted by the world, the bright lights out there, and then their light is snuffed out. They deny the Lord. They go the way of the world. They fall away. And then the Lord Jesus in that parable tells us, you know, they only endure for a while. They only endure for a while. But he that received the seed in a stony place is the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. They just dureth for a while. And they soon fall away. These are false believers. And then they become unfruitful. No fruit of the Spirit. They dureth for a while. And so these foolish virgins here likewise. Their light only shine for a while. When the Lord comes back, no more light, no more oil. They don't have true faith, you see. Make sure you are not like this. I've seen, I've known of those who call themselves Christian, but they are no longer believers. They even deny the Lord himself. They say, now I know better. I'm no longer foolish like before when I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. No, Jesus is not true. Now I believe in myself. And I enjoy the world. I know of one who, when I was, you know, a young Christian in my previous church, and she was very active in the church, active in the choir, active in the fellowship groups. And in Sunday school, she did very well, always getting high marks, getting prizes. I mean, you will never think that she was actually not born again. Did all the things that a Christian would do. And later on, when she went for further studies, she did very well. She's now a high flyer. But now she adopts an alternative lifestyle. Do you know what that means? An alternative lifestyle. And then when she's asked, you know, do you attend church? Are you still a Christian? Now I know better. I know better. I'm now wise. Before I was foolish, now I'm wise. Well, Jesus says, no, you're not wise. You're really foolish. A foolish virgin. So another one. She was also, you know, very active, serving in the choir, in the church. Been a Christian for many years. This one is in the BP church. But then one day she came up to me and said, Brother Jeffrey, you know, I have a problem. Every time when pastor preaches at the pulpit, I do not understand what he's trying to say. And this pastor in this BP church is a very good pastor who preaches the truth. Well, I understand him. But she says, I cannot understand what pastor is saying. And she was very active in the church, serving the choir, leading the choir. How is that? Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And if you have no Holy Spirit in your heart, you cannot understand His words. Even the preaching of the truth, until we repent and we are born again. Is it possible for someone to be like this, thinking that he's a Christian, but it's not one? Very possible. Even Nicodemus, the Pharisee, someone who knows the Bible inside and out, Jesus had to tell him, you must be born again. Is there anyone here tonight like this? You come to church Sunday after Sunday, but you never could appreciate the scriptures or the preaching. It means nothing to you. And if that is the case, and you don't make sure and re-examine yourself and get right with God, very soon, in due time, you will fall away. You will show that you are fake. You are false Christian. Your true colors will show. You will not endure till the very end. You will you only last for a little while. That's what the Bible says. So we want to make sure tonight, none of us is like this, like the foolish virgins. We don't want to deceive ourselves. Make sure we are genuine and not imitation. And that is why, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 13, Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 13, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Why did Jesus say here, "He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved"? Who are those who will endure unto the end? Those who have true faith. True faith is an enduring faith. It will never compromise the truth. It will never deny the Lord Jesus Christ. It will keep on believing and trusting in Him, no matter what, until the very end. In good times and in bad times. And next year, bad times are coming. Times will get worse. Will you deny the Lord when next year you fall sick? You lose your job? You meet with failure in your life? You suffer a broken relationship? Things are not going well for you? And you say, "Where is God? Who is God? I don't know Him. Jesus is not my Savior. I should believe on someone else." We get angry with the Lord and we depart from Him. Will we say that? We are going to be tried and tested. Will our faith be true? Will it endure unto the very end? We have to examine ourselves. And we also know from this parable that faith is not transferable. Now over here, the foolish virgins ask from the wise virgins, "Please give us some of your all, because we have run out of all." And then the wise virgins said, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." Now, this is not to say that the wise virgins were trying to be selfish here. That's not the point. The point here is our faith must be something personal. You must be personally responsible for your belief and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot believe for you. You cannot believe for me. Faith is not transferable. It's between you and God. You know, any surplus faith I have, I cannot pass on to you who lack. And I cannot borrow any faith from others to make up or top up in the faith that I lack. There's no such thing. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself. All of us are accountable to Him individually. And so let us make sure. Don't look to the person on the right or the left, or whether he has faith or not, whether it's a true believer or a fake one. We better look at ourselves and check ourselves. Am I or not? And the third thing we find in this parable, what is true faith and how to know we are truly born again, is this. We find here that true believers are obedient to the Word of God. They are obedient to God's Word. Now, over here, we find that in verse 12, the foolish virgins, when the Lord Jesus came, called Him, "Lord, Lord," right? And how did the Lord reply to them? The Lord told them, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." I know you not. Now, these foolish virgins says, "Lord, we know you." They seemed to know the Lord. They called Him, "Lord, Lord." But Jesus said, "I never knew you. I know you not." And this is very similar to what Jesus had spoken earlier on in Matthew chapter 7. You remember that passage? Those who call on the Lord on the last day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name cast out demons, in thy name done many wonderful works and even miracles? And Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. How is it that these people are working iniquity? Aren't they prophesying the name of the Lord? That is something good. Why did Jesus say something sinful? And they are casting out demons, performing miracles. Why are they workers of iniquity? How is it that Jesus did not know them? It's not what we do. These people may be prophesying in the name of Christ, but they are prophesying and preaching falsehood, error. They may be casting out demons, but these are all false miracles, counterfeit. They deceive themselves. These things they do in Christ's name, but not according to His word. Not according to His word. You see? And Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The same thing was said to these foolish virgins. Same kind of people. False believers. They not only deceive others, they deceive themselves. They have a hypocritical faith. They have an outward show of religion, but inside, no true spirituality. That's why Jesus said of these people, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. And then Paul says of such, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They have a hypocritical faith. They say yes to the Lord, but actually they mean no. And Jesus pronounced a curse on such people. And Jesus told the Pharisees, they had such a faith, a false faith. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Because why? They may hear God's word, but they don't do God's word. And faith without works, as James has said, is dead. True believers are obedient to the word. They have the highest regard for God's infallible, inerrant words. And they will never, never question God's word. They will never doubt God's word. They will never criticize God's word. And that's why Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. The foolish man, on the other hand, built his house upon the sand. The foolish virgins are like those foolish ones built the house on sand. They base their faith on the commandments of men rather than the words of God. We must make sure our faith is built upon the solid rock of God's forever infallible and inerrant word. Do we have such a faith? Do we have the highest regard for God's word? And if we do, then let us make sure in the new year, if we have not read the Bible through, even if we have read the Bible through from cover to cover, let us read the Bible through again, from Genesis to Revelation. Complete the Bible. Read the Bible, the whole Bible through in the new year. Will you resolve to do that? And also to make it a point to study God's Word intensively and systematically. Come for the adult Sunday school. Come for the night classes at the FEBC. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. And when we see these things in our life, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the faith that endures, and we are obedient to the word of God, and then we can be assured, yes, I belong to the Lord. And this I'm able to do not because I'm good or I'm strong, but because Christ is good and He is strong in me to preserve me and persevere in me unto the very end. And there's this all within me that keeps me going, keeps me running, keeps me working for the Lord. So let us make sure, and may our faith not be an empty faith, but a genuine faith, full of substance, based on the Word of God, the living Word, who is Christ, and the written Word, the inspired and preserved words of everlasting life, the Holy Scriptures. Let us pray. Father, speak to our hearts. Help us to be sure. We thank Thee that not only Your Word will make us sure, even the Holy Spirit, our Comforter and Counselor, will make us sure that we are truly Yours, if we are truly Yours. Pray, O Lord, that everyone tonight is a true believer. That if You were to come tonight, all will be caught up. None will be left behind. So, Lord, help us. Please save us, Lord. We need Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.